We've had many very distinguished stars on stage door, and we feel that we've got to know them much better through their appearance on this broadcast. And tonight, it's my great pleasure to introduce not only a distinguished stage star, but a wonderful goodwill ambassador between ourselves and the mother country. For tonight, our guest on stage door is Mr. George Formby. Good evening, Mr. Formby.
Good evening. It's turned out nice again, hasn't it?
Well, it's turned out very nice for us in having you here. And also, the old woman.
Hi, she's never far away. Come on, missy, you better say something.
Well, how do you do, everybody? It's very nice of you to let me have a talk.
If you could stop her.
The last time I met you was during that terrific riot that went on outside the Tivoli the day that you arrived.
Yes.
How did you like Melbourne's welcome?
Oh, it was marvellous. I think, really, that was possibly one of the most enthusiastic welcomes we ever had. Oh, they gave us a devil of a time for a few minutes, didn't they?
Yes, I didn't think that any crowd could lift me bodily, but it shunted me along. And I think you were very lucky to have those policemen to help you.
Yes.
During your visit to Australia, apart from your normal stage appearances, your work for Food for Britain has aroused quite a lot of interest. How is that work going generally?
Oh, it's doing very, very well. Doing very well. We're going to Geelong on Sunday night.
Yes.
A week next Sunday?
No, Sunday.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
See, next the old Sunday. Woman, she changes like a woman. Aren't they always the same?
I'm so glad the man was right this time.
Yes. We're going there on Sunday night, and I do hope to try and raise £1,000 there.
I believe that they've got about 500 already.
Yes, they're doing very well up to now. It's very encouraging.
How much would you say that you'd raised altogether?
I think if we can get £1,000 there and about £4,000 for the Mayor of Sydney, the Lord Mayor, I should say, it'll be about 35,000 all told since we've been to Australia.
About 35,000?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you raise the bulk of this money?
Well, in Sydney, they were talking about Food for Britain, and I got an idea one day. I said, well, if there's one way you want to raise money for Food for Britain quick, is to run a race meeting. And I gave them the idea for the Food for Britain race meeting, which raised £31,000.
£31,000? Mm. Didn't you stage a stunt like that sometime in England?
Yes, that's where I actually got the idea from. As a matter of fact, Beryl reminded me of it at the time. I wouldn't have thought of it, but she said, what about doing the same as you did at Norfolk? We used to have a race meeting before the war at Norfolk Park, and they were doing a charity meeting one day, and we suggested that they do the charity show, and we raised there about 25,000, and that gave us the idea for the Sydney one, and it came up trumps.
And I believe that recently you went up to Ballarat too.
Yes, we went to Ballarat on New Year's Day. Of course, that was a pleasure trip as well, at the same time as Food for Britain, because I'm crackers on motorbikes, you know.
Yes, I believe that that's your hobby.
Yes, we went to the Grand Prix races there. It was a marvellous day. We enjoyed ourselves thoroughly.
How do you think that those races compare with the ones that you have in England?
They're very good there. They're not as long as our Grand Prix race in England, of course.
No.
But they're only 25-mile races, but you get a grand idea of riding, and very, very good riders. We were thoroughly thrilled with some of the chaps, and I had a good time. I rode around the course myself on a bike. But, of course, we got £100 at Ballarat that day, and I would like to take this opportunity of thanking the folks at Ballarat and telling them that it was a marvellous effort. That was with autographs, you know,
yes.
Collecting round the track. I think we got about £73, and then the Harley-Davidson Club very kindly made it up into £100.
That's excellent.
And the folks in Ballarat will be pleased to know that those parcels are now on the way to England, and they'll get replies from the folks when they receive them.
That really is wonderful. But tell me, you poor people, do you have any private life?
Oh, yes, we get 5 or 10 minutes here or there.
In between the show.
Yes.
And I suppose you'll be going out to Cook's Point to see the races when they're there.
Yes, we're going out there. That's the motor cars this time, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And is there any hope of your extending your stay here in Melbourne?
Unfortunately, not this trip, because we've got to get back home. We've been away now 6 months, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we shall be leaving Melbourne on the 31st of January. But it's a great pity, because we would have liked to have seen Perth and Adelaide and Brisbane and all the other grand spots that there are in Australia. But we're going to come back again and do those spots at a later date when we have more time.
We can take that as being quite definite.
Oh, quite definite, yes.
And I believe that you hope to cover Canada also shortly.
Yes, we're due in Canada. I'm due in Stockholm in July in Sweden, and then I'm due in Canada in September. And then we shall try then to take the Australian trip in at the same time.
And I believe also they're trying to get you to go to Japan.
Yes, yes, we're going to have a go up there as well.
But you should be in your element working for the troops, because I'm quite sure that no one has done so much troop entertaining during the whole period of the war. And during your troop travels, were you ever separated from Beryl?
No, no, never.
Not on any
occasion? No, even when we had to run for it, we both ran together.
Yes, I could run a bit little faster than you, George.
Yes.
You could run a bit faster, could you? And tell me, during that time, how did you manage with the higher-ups and those people?
Oh, quite easily. That was very easily overcome.
I used to leave that job to Beryl.
Yes.
No, if they wanted George to go up the front line and do a job, they would turn round and say, "Very sorry, but Beryl can't go. It's rather too dangerous up there." So my only remark was, "All right, if George can't go, the old woman doesn't go either." That's how I became known as the old woman right through the forces.
That's how you got that
title? That's how I got
title.
My title.
Because it seems to be quite an honoured title. It doesn't seem to mean any disrespect to Mrs. Formby,
does it? I hope it isn't.
And of all the shows you did, which is the most outstanding in your memories?
Oh, there's one, a real beauty. I think George would love to tell that one.
I think the most outstanding show, or shall we call it the most weird show, was just very shortly after the initial landing in Normandy. We landed there and we'd been doing a show for Monty, as we call him, Montgomery.
Yes.
And at the end of the show he said, "Now, you know, there's a bunch of fellas just on the banks of the River Orne there that landed there on D-Day, and it's now 56 days and they haven't been relieved." He said, "I think they'd be very, very pleased to see your face." I said, "Well, I'll go." And he said, "Of course, Beryl can't go with you. It's too bit too near." Beryl said, "Well, if I can't go, George doesn't go." So then Monty, just like the fellow he is, he said, "Well, if you want to get your fool head blown off, away you go, the pair of you." So the next morning at 6:30, they gave us a jeep. I didn't even take my pianist. They said it wasn't safe. They just Beryl, I, and the jeep and the driver, and the director of ENSA, Basil Dean. We set off to get up to the 6th Airborne Div, who had landed there in the gliders. So we were going along a road, and we went round a sharp corner, and then right in front of us there was a big board. It said, "Stop, enemy ahead." Well, you've never seen a jeep turn around as fast in your life as that did.
I'll bet.
Because the advance patrols used to put boards up when you were about 50, 60 yards off the enemy. Well, we turned back, we went up another little lane, and then a bloke came out of a hedge. He seemed to merge out of it. He had all sorts of twigs and things around his hat. And he said, "Where do you think you lot are going?" So the corporal said, "Well, this is George Formby and party. We're looking for the 6th Airborne Div headquarters." He said, "Well, just turn through that little gate, go very carefully, keep your heads down, and you'll find them just the other side of the farmyard in the grove." So we landed up to the 6th Airborne Div. I couldn't see anybody. They were all ducked in little foxholes. The colonel came out and he said, "Well, you're here all right." I said, "Yes." He said, "Now, it's going to be a funny show, because you're not going to have any visible audience. You're just going to see a few heads bobbing about. We can't concentrate more than 40 boys at a time." He put Beryl under a tree. He said, "You better stand there. You'll be quite safe there." He put me near a dugout and a slit trench. And he said, "If anything comes over, duck." He said, "Don't feel embarrassed or think you feel foolish, because if you don't duck, you'll be the only one left here that hasn't ducked. We'll have gone." I said, "Well, exactly where are we now?" He said, "Well, I think, as near as I can gauge, it was about 120 yards off the Germans." I said, "Monty's a good fellow, isn't he?" Anyway, we were there, but that's the last thing we ever thought of being hit or anything like that. He said, "I don't think anything will happen, because the Jerrys will be able to hear you." So I set off playing the uke, and he'd given the boys instructions, no applause, to create a row. So we set off going, and I could tell a lot of stories to say that there were all sorts of stuff flying over, bombs and things, but strangely enough, nothing happened at all, only one bullet. That's the only thing we heard. Right through that show, I sang about 8 or 9 songs. Beryl did a comedy act with me, and the boys sort of laughed silently. It was weird, you know, to see fellas' faces lighting up and no sound coming from them.
Yes.
Well, we worked along that show. Then we went along another part of the front, and we did all the boys. We did 9 shows that day and finished up at night about 11 o'clock, very weary but very happy.
Oh, you must have been happy.
Right along the whole beachhead that day in a jeep.
How many troops would you estimate that you have entertained in the time that you were doing that?
Oh, it's difficult. How many would it be, Biddle?
Well, I think the last time we reckoned it all up was coming near to a 3 million.
Near to 3 million?
Yes, near to 3 million.
That's actually on the fighting fronts. That's not counting the troops at home and in the Orkneys and places like that.
Because when we got to places like Dulally, where there were 19,000 troops concentrated there in the camps, instead of staying for about a month to entertain them all at about 300 or 400 a time, we got them all on the football field, and the first show we did, I think, 10,000, and the second we had 9,000. And we were standing in one goal post, and the audience extended right to the other side.
Yes, it was.
In other words, we went in for bulk.
I'll say, I think it was a marvellous example to our profession, the sacrifices that you actually made to do this.
Well, when you come to reckon it up, we didn't sacrifice as much as the boys did.
We could always go home after we'd finished it, and they couldn't. They still had to remain there.
We only did what every normal person should have done, and we did nothing wonderful, and we're very pleased to know that we were able to do it, and we'd do it again, God forbid, if it ever happens.
Yes, indeed. And now you're carrying on the good work here, and I do hope that the show at Geelong is going to be a grand success and that you do get over that 35,000 before you go.
Yes, so do I.
And now with my eye on the clock, I can see that your curtain is going up down at the Tivoli and you'll have to...
Oh, I've forgotten. I haven't been a little show yet.
Because we're chatting away here without watching yes. time, but it really is most interesting. And we do thank you very much, both of you, for coming up to the studio, because it's been a very great honour and privilege for us.
Well, it's been very nice being here for another few minutes, and I would like to say on behalf of Bedell and myself, we're having a wonderful time in Australia, and we thank the Australians very, very much for being so kind to us. You've got a wonderful country, and we still hope to see some of your wonderful sunshine before we go back.
And we'll look forward to your return.
Thank you.